The island of Gaunt, a single mountain that lifts its peak a mile above the storm-racked northeast sea, is a land famous for wizards. From the towns in its high valleys and the ports in its dark narrow bays, many a Gauntishman has gone forth to serve the lords of the archipelago in their cities as a wizard or mage, or, looking for adventure, to wander working magic from isle to isle of all Earthsea. Of these, some say the greatest, and surely the greatest voyager, was the man called Sparrowhawk, who in his day became both Dragon Lord and Archmage. His life is told of in the Deed of Ged and in many songs, but this is a tale of the time before his fame, before the songs were made. He was born in a lonely village called Ten Alders, high on the mountain at the head of the Northward Vale. Below the village, the pastures and ploughlands of the vale slope downwards, level below level, towards the sea, and other towns lie on the bends of the River Aar. Above the village, only forest rises, ridge behind ridge, to the stone and snow of the heights. The name he bore as a child, Duni, was given him by his mother, and that and his life were all she could give him, for she died before he was a year old. His father, the bronzesmith of the village, was a grim, unspeaking man, and since Duni's six brothers were older than he by many years, and one by one went from home to farm the land or sail the sea or work as smith in other towns of the Northward Vale, there was no one to bring the child up in tenderness. He grew wild, a thriving weed, a tall, quick boy, loud and proud and full of temper. With the few other children of the village, he herded goats on the steep meadows above the river springs, and when he was strong enough to push and pull the long bellows sleeves, his father made him work as a smith's boy, at a high cost in blows and whippings. There was not much work to be got out of Duni. He was always off and away, roaming deep in the forest, swimming in the pools of the River Aar that, like all Gauntish rivers, runs very quick and cold, or climbing by cliff and scarp to the heights above the forest, from which he could see the sea, that broad northern ocean where, past Perigal, no islands are. A sister of his dead mother lived in the village. She had done what was needful for him as a baby, but she had business of her own, and once he could look after himself at all, she paid no more heed to him. But one day, when the boy was 7 years old, untaught and knowing nothing of the arts and powers that are in the world, he heard his aunt crying out words to a goat which had jumped up onto the thatch of a hut and would not come down. But it came jumping when she cried a certain rhyme to it. Next day, herding the long-haired goats on the meadows of Highfall, Duni shouted to them the words he had heard, not knowing their use or meaning, or what kind of words they were. Noth, hierth, malk, man, hjolk, han, merth, han. He yelled the rhyme aloud, and the goats came to him. They came very quickly, all of them together, not making a sound. They looked at him out of the dark slot in their yellow eyes. Duni laughed and shouted it out again, the rhyme that gave him power over the goats. They came closer, crowding and pushing round him. All at once, he felt afraid of their thick, ridged horns and their strange eyes and their strange silence. He tried to get free of them and to run away. The goats ran with him, keeping in a knot around him, and so they came, charging down into the village at last, all the goats going, huddled together as if a rope were pulled tight round them. And the boy was in the midst of them, weeping and bellowing. Villagers ran from their houses to swear at the goats and laugh at the boy. Among them came the boy's aunt, who did not laugh. She said a word to the goats, and the beasts began to bleat and browse and wander, freed from the spell. "Come with me," she said to Duni. She took him into her hut where she lived alone. She let no child enter there usually, and the children feared the place. It was low and dusky, windowless, fragrant with herbs that hung drying from the crossbole of the roof, mint and moly and thyme, yarrow and rush wash and paramal, kingsfoil, clovenfoot, tansy and bay. There his aunt sat cross-legged by the fire pit, and looking sidelong at the boy through the tangles of her black hair, she asked him what he had said to the goats, and if he knew what the rhyme was.